We're talking today with John Fenderson with Bear Westbred. John, we're right in the middle of final decisions being made for anybody that's going to be planting wheat primarily for grain for the 2022 crop. I know that there's some things that some last minute, kind of that last minute checklist that you've got in mind that you might want to advise these producers about.
Well, there's several things that we need to consider before we put the seed in the ground, obviously. And I would imagine most producers have already made a lot of those decisions, but if they haven't, these are some things they need to consider. And that is, what varieties that I have available for me to plant, should I be planting on a certain field, and why should I plant them on that field? And if you're not certain where those varieties should be planted, visit with your seed suppliers and get their recommendations. You know, they've seen these varieties across all types of different environments, all types of different soils, and they can give you a really good idea probably of what's the best placement of a certain variety in a certain field. One thing that I want to really encourage growers to do, and it's a little bit late, but it's still not too late, and that is get your soils tested. We need to know what's in the ground. If we expect to raise a top-notch crop, we have to put the nutrients in the soil that crop's going to need. And if we don't know what's there, we could be wasting money, or we could be shooting ourselves in the foot by losing bushels. So get your soil tested. It's best to take a 0 to 8 profile and then take an 8 to 24. This year in particular, with input cost where they are, find out how much available nitrogen you've got in the soil. That's the one nutrient that we've got out there that will move, and it may not be there in the future. So we need it to be there when it's needed. If we've got adequate in the soil right now, we don't need to put a bunch on. Put maybe a pop-up fertilizer on and let it go till springtime, and then put it on when we really need it. So those are a couple of things. The other thing is get that drill ready. It's surprising sometimes how little prep gets done on seeding equipment, and unless we get the seed into the soil and get good seed-to-soil contact, we're not going to come out with as good a stand or as uniform a stand as what we really need. Yes, wheat's very plastic and it will compensate, but most of us like to see that nice uniform stand across the field. If we're in a rougher seed bed, slow down, take that bounce out of that planter and get that nice uniform seed placement so we can get that good seed to soil placement. The other thing is get it calibrated. Calibration, we should be doing that with every variety. Varieties change. I'll use our Westbred varieties for an example. Example, the WB4401 and WB4303 are really large seeded varieties. And if you plant them at 60 pounds, you're probably not going to be happy, because you're not going to have enough seed out there. Even though WB4401 is a little more aggressive tillering variety, varieties with very large seed, you're going to need to up your seeding rate a few pounds per acre to get the number of plants out there. In a good part of Oklahoma, I recommend 1 million seeds per acre go in the soil at optimum planting time. And if you're using one variety that's got 13,000 seeds per pound and another with 18,000 seeds per pound, you can see we're changing the seeding rate by approximately a third by going to a small seeded variety versus a large seeded. So you can overseed and you can underseed. Westbred, we kind of pioneered a terminology called optimum seeding rate. And the optimum seeding rate is we test each of our varieties for several years. And generally we use a target population for an area. And then we go below it, we go above it, and then go another notch above it. We're trying to extract the most yield out of those genetics that we can. And if I can spend $5 more on seed and plant a higher seeding rate and yet get an ROI of 3 or 4 to 1 by getting 4 or 5 bushels more per acre, that's money well spent. So get that drill calibrated, calibrate it for each variety, And if you're planting naked seed, meaning seed without a treatment on it, and then switch to treated seed, definitely recalibrate your drill, because the flow of that seed with the seed treatment on it is going to change, and it's going to slow down that flow rate, and you're going to be putting less seed in the ground.
You alluded to a couple of your varieties in the Westbred arsenal. As you think about, you know, planting for this latter part of September through the month of October, when we're really starting to try to focus on maximum grain production, what are some real good possibilities that are out there available?
Yeah, if you're on the earlier side, Ron, I would recommend a variety that works really good through central and the eastern part of the region, and that would be WB4699 and WB4269. Those are both good options to plant, particularly for guys that are rotating crops and have got a corn crop that's come out of the ground. They both contain Fusarium head blight tolerance, and they do yield quite well. 4699 is a little bit slow to come out of the ground. It's not a real rigorous vigor variety in the fall. Consequently, you can put that one in the ground a little bit earlier, and then in the springtime, you don't have to worry about it getting away from you and breaking dormancy quite as early. 4269, on the other hand, is a variety that is earlier to harvest than 4699, but for an early harvesting variety, it doesn't break dormancy real early, and it's a variety that tillers prolifically. Both of those are prolific tillering varieties, but we like to get 4699 to tiller in the fall. It performs best when it sets fall tillers. 4269 is a variety that can tiller in the fall and the spring, so if it gets planted a little later, and we don't have optimum growth conditions, it'll still go ahead and produce. If we're going a little bit later in the year, more optimum, and I will say north of Interstate 40, we're looking at somewhere between the 10th and 25th of October to optimize grain yield. We really like WB4401. It's a newer variety. It's been out for a year now. Exceptional high yield variety, has good test weight to it, has real good quality to it, and has exceptional yields. It's also a very good grazing wheat, but we don't want to plant it early unless you're going to graze it, because it's one that will break dormancy earlier in the springtime than the two varieties that I mentioned previously. Another one would be WB4303. It's one I mentioned about having a little bit larger seed size, very high yield potential, probably the highest yield potential of any variety we sell, but it doesn't have very good disease tolerance, so it's a variety for managers that want to push the yield hard but don't mind applying a fungicide. But it's another one that needs to be planted towards the middle or later part of our optimum planting window.
I know that you and I have talked before, but a lot of the selections that a particular wheat producer can select from the various varieties that are available to him, they give him the choice of what style of management or what level of management he's willing to undertake.
That's a very good point, Joe. We have really tried to push genetic yield gain and allow top producers to manage that yield, and they manage that yield. They're not going to change the genetic potential in that seed. The genetic potential's in that seed, and they have to manage the fertility, the pest control, putting that seed in the ground in the best way possible. They have to be the ones to do that. And those gentlemen that wanted, and ladies that want to manage like that, we have varieties like 4303 and particularly 4401 that give them that opportunity. Whereas varieties such as WB4269 and 4699 have more defensive characteristics to them and don't require quite as much management from a disease and insect standpoint. They're all going to require fertilizer. If you want top yield, you've got to fertilize. Wheat loves nitrogen. Wheat loves phosphorus. And you got to get that plant off to a good start and especially get those roots established well in the fall. So fertility cannot be shorted if you want to make top-notch wheat, and we think if you're going to do that, we've got the genetics that will allow growers to maximize those inputs.
It's the time of the year that we're watching weather really closely. A lot of our southern plains region, we've gotten some rains, but we've got some areas that are a little on the dry side right now. A lot of cases, these guys are going to wait for rain, right?
I believe that they will wait for rain, and there's several reasons you wait for rain. It's very hot. The soils are very hot. Seeding into these kind of conditions, we're not going to get quite as good a stands. Hot soils going to shorten coleoptiles up. Some varieties aren't going to come through the soil quite as well, and so our stands are going to be reduced. Waiting for moisture can ensure that we get more uniform seed placement, more uniform stand establishment, get that crop off to a better start. So I think that guys are looking at commodity prices, which are historically, they're very good. That will allow them to maximize production. The other reason, though, is we have some pest issues out here, particularly armyworms, that are a concern. And armyworms love young, tender wheat. And if we start planting now and a little bit on the early side and get wheat coming up, I think we're going to be fighting armyworms for a good long while. I don't think that's something we want to do. By planting earlier, we also subject that plant to more barley yellow dwarf disease, more Hessian fly pressure, more wheat streak mosaic potential. And if we get conditions to get that wheat out of the ground and then we don't follow up with adequate moisture, we can burn up a lot of moisture in the fall and make that unavailable to the crop in the springtime when we need that moisture for grain fill.
You're kind of responsible for the Southern Plains region. You've been able to actually zero in on some of the tough choices and other maybe obstacles to success that a variety has got to deal with if it's going to grow and going to be able to be used year after year.
Certainly, the Southern Plains is the toughest wheat market in the country. You can talk about some of the Northern Plains and how dry it is. They don't deal with some of the obstacles that we do. I've heard one guy say one time that was down here from Iowa, you know, why do you guys live down here 10 miles from the sun? We deal with extreme heat and we can deal with extreme drought. Heat's one thing that we really deal with in the Southern Plains. And as we test, and we have an extensive testing program through our breeding facility out of Lubbock and Wichita, that those guys run about 40 trials a year in the Southern Plains for us to collect data from. So once you do that over about a 4 or 5 year period, you get across enough environments, across enough different conditions, we certainly can flesh out which of those varieties are going to handle the tough conditions that we tend to get here in the Southern Plains and out on the Southern High Plains as well. So we have a very aggressive breeding program. Our company believes in wheat. We're pushing forward very hard, looking at new technologies potentially to bring to wheat in the future. With potential of bringing hybrids even to the market, if that looks like there's an opportunity that we can bring stability to yield, quality to that wheat variety, plus the pest resistance that we need in the wheat varieties for the Southern Plains. We're looking at that. We haven't come to any hard set conclusions on those yet, but that's something we're certainly studying and looking at right now, as are other companies. So that's another thing that we're doing, but we're investing in wheat. We believe in wheat for the long term. We believe in wheat in the Southern Plains, and we look forward to a bright future.
Thank you, John. John Finderson with Bear Westbred. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.